Shabbos. But there were others that didn't care about anything, and they kept Shabbos. And now those two families, they kept Shabbos. And they were fired. The father was fired every week from his job and had to look for a new job the next week. So they asked the Rebbe Moshe Feinstein, how is it? Now those two families, both the fathers, the parents kept Shabbos. And one become like this great family, and the others, they left the religion. He says, I know exactly what happened there. You see, those who become rabbis, all the family and scholars and things, when the father came home, after he was fired, he was coming dancing. Oh, it's so good to be a Jew. I succeeded again to keep Shabbos. I'm going to keep Shabbos. So they got the understanding that Shabbos is more important than anything else, and it's a happy thing, it's a good thing. Even if you lose your job. The other family, every Friday you come, again, I have to go and look for a new job next week because I'm Jewish, I have to keep Shabbos. Terrible. What can I do? I have to keep Shabbos. So the children saw this. So
Shabbos is a terrible thing.
Shabbos is a terrible thing. Yeah. Who wants to keep Shabbos?
Yeah.
So in other words, it's not only what you do, it's how you do.
How you do.
And by the way, in our Parsha also, it's written a very interesting thing. In the beginning is in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. We're talking about Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. He was in charge on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it's also a very interesting thing because with him was Oholiab ben Achisamach from Shevet Dan. Like, in other words, there was here an interesting combination. From one side, Bezalel from the, let's say, the top level of society, Shevet Yehuda, the tribe of the kings. And from the other side, from Shevet Dan, which were the lowest part of the nation. So the Torah is trying to tell us a very interesting thing. If you think that because you belong to a certain tribe or certain family, or you come from a rich family, it makes you better than others, the Torah tells you there is no difference. Forget it. Because here we see the combination of the top with the lowest place, and still they work together. This is also a very interesting lesson that we can talk a lot about it, but we cannot talk about everything. So now let's see what's written for him. Lachshov machshavot. What is lachshov machshavot? To think a pasuk dalet, pasuk 4 in perek lamed aleph.
Think thoughts.
La'asot. What is la'asot?
To do.
With the gold, silver, and copper.
And copper.
Lachashov machashavot. In other words, we have sometimes a lot of ideas. But ideas don't make anything. You know, you can have the best idea in the world if you don't do anything about it. It's going to stay as an idea, and nothing's going to come out of it. So the Torah is telling us, it's not enough to think.
You have to do.
Lachshov machashavot la'asot. Then, how do you do it? It's written in the next pasuk, in pasuk vav. Yes, pasuk vav in the end. Ve'ani inen natati ito et olia ben achzach lamed dadan. Ubelev kol chacham lev. What is chacham lev?
Intelligence of the heart.
Intelligence of the heart. And we see it a lot when building the Mishkan. Everything has to be connected to the heart. In other words, it's not enough to think and do. You have to do what you do from your heart. That's the way you're successful. You don't just do things. You do things from the heart. And of course, you don't think. Only thinking doesn't help nobody. You have to think, you have to do, and to do from the heart. When you work this way, then you can build a Mishkan. Then you can build a shrine. Then you can build a Mikdash. Otherwise, you don't do anything. Now, after we talked about Shabbos, and realized how important it is, and as we said, to keep a mitzvah also depends how you keep it. We have those two families. One, both of them were keeping Shabbos, but one was doing it with all his heart, with love, and the other one was doing it because he has to do it. And that's not the way to do it. The next interesting episode of our parsha is, of course, the golden calf. Now, what's happening with the golden calf is also very interesting. When we look at what's happening is, so Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain for 40 days, 40 nights. He comes down because God tells him, "Red, kishichet amcha, go down, because your people sinned." And he goes down, and he sees the people dancing around the golden calf. And what does he do?
He breaks the luchot.
But this is like something unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now imagine to yourself,
God,
the rabbi goes into the synagogue, opens the Aron HaKodesh, takes out the Sefer Torah,
and
turns it. Tears it to pieces and throws it on the floor.
Question is, why did he break it? If he knew already that they sinned, so why did he break it?
That's a very good question.
He wasn't taking antidepressants.
What?
He wasn't taking rescue.
No, it's a very good question. The question is, God is telling you. Your people sinned. So what should you do? Leave the luchot. Go down, deal with the situation, and then go back and take the luchot. Why do you take the luchot down? And then, why do you break them?
Well, he didn't know. First of all, he didn't know the extent of the sin. He didn't know exactly what it was.
So, breaking them?
How dare you break them? When he saw them dancing around the...
Yes.
It was just too much for him. And then he realized that the people weren't ready. They weren't ready to receive the Torah.
So he just breaks the luchot.
There's a lot
that's what he did.
You can put them aside. I'm not going to give it.
Right.
Yeah. Why to break them?
There's a lot of philosophical answers.
I tell you what's happening here. It's very simple. When he comes down, he sees the people dancing around what?
Around a statue.
How do you say, a still thing that doesn't move, doesn't do anything.
An inanimate object.
And he thought that when he's going to come back, and they all started because he didn't come back. Now, is he going to come back with the luchot? They will see the luchot and will do tshuva on the spot. But they don't even care. They're going on dancing. And he realized he had to put, like it's a shock treatment. The only way that they're going to notice and understand that they do something wrong is when he does an action that is going to shake them, put them in a shock, and he breaks the luchot. But there is not this only thing, because he said, you think that the luchot, you're worshipping the luchot, you're worshipping the stone, you're not worshipping the stone. You're watching what's written on them to do it. And that's why what happened when he broke the luchot?
The
letters
flow
out. In other words, you are dancing around what? Around the statue? A piece of gold? So I'm going to bring the luchot here and you're going to start dancing around the luchot. By the way, this is sometimes a thing that happened in real life. People put the importance on the outside. They have this beautiful shul, they have those beautiful Sefer Torah, but they talk in the middle of davening. They don't come every day to daven. They don't care about davening. They don't care about the holiness of the place. They just care about how it looks. And by the way, the best example is, look at the Reform shul, how it looks. They put gold and things. It looks like an unbelievable thing. But it's no problem. You can do a beautiful shul. But you have to understand that you're not praying to the gold. This is the golden calf. You're not praying to the luchot. You're praying to God. The luchot are there in order to teach you what's written on them. The luchot themselves, the same way as the temple. The Beis Hamikdash, that's not the important. It's what you put in it. Why was the temple destroyed? Because we destroyed our Mishkan that we had inside us. And the minute that the spiritual thing is not there, the physical thing's got no meaning. It has to be connected to the spiritual part. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came down and he saw what's happening, and they don't even care about it. So the first thing he thought, 1 minute, what's going on here? They think I'm going now to bring them the Luchot, and they're going to start dancing around the Luchot, like the Luchot are the important thing? By themselves, like as Luchot? That's not the idea. You build a golden calf, why? Because you want to connect to God through a golden calf? So maybe you think you can connect to God through a Luchot. The Luchot themselves, they mean nothing. What's written on them, that's what the meaning is. What's in them. So we broke the Luchot, which he did two things. First of all, a shock. They understood something is wrong. You know, he comes down with the Luchot from God and he breaks them. It shocked them. And then he also told them the lesson. You are not worshipping the stone. You're worshipping God. You're not dancing around the golden calf. So then, they realize what they do. And then, the interesting thing is, when we talk about Aaron, what is the part of Aaron in all this episode?
He took part. No.
Well, there are two opinions. One say that he really committed sin.
He was punished.
Other commentators say that
there are a lot of things to talk about.
To gain time till Moshe came back.
That's what I heard.
Let's look at.
So,
the fact that breaking of the tablet was that the tablet, she said, I don't know if the tablet, that wasn't the thing.
Let's look at Pasuk. Pasuk Kaf Aleph.
Kaf Aleph.
Perek Lamed Bet.
But
Pasuk Laf Kaf Aleph.
Pasuk 21. Perek Lamed Bet.
Okay.
He asked Aaron, what they?
Vayomer Moshe el Aaron.
Why they did?
Ma asalecha amaze ki eveta alav chata agdola. What did the people do to you that you made them sin this way? So who is he blaming?
Aaron.
Ma asa lecha ha'am azeh ki eveta ata, you made them sin. You are the cause of their sin. Vayomer Aaron, alicha raf adoni, don't be angry on me. Atayadata, you know the people, kibrao, they saw something wrong with the people, something evil, something bad. Vayomruli, they wanted me to do a god, because Moshe is the one who has took us out of Egypt, and we don't know what happened to him. Mahayalo. And I took it and threw it in the fire, and the egel came out.
And who is saying that this is the God that you must worship? Because some say that was Aaron, and some say that it was this.
No, some say it's the Erev Rav, some say it's Erev the people. The Erev Rav.
killing each other.
Yeah, well,
there are many questions.
Where are we are ending to criticize Moshe, but
no Moshe,
Moshe, but he had, when he broke the Luchot, he demonstrated not to have calm and not to ask before doing something.
But,
maybe,
But you have to chop this to make a shock to the people. This is the intention.
I don't know.
You don't agree with something else.
Okay, I don't find the other thing I wanted to find. But it's very clear that Moshe is really blaming from one point of Aaron, and we'll see it also later on, that it is Aaron that did the golden calf. So, what's happening here?
He was also afraid of the people.
That's what one of the explanations, but it's like it's a... this is Aaron we're talking about. No, it's also, there is another very interesting point here. Let's think about it. If they really wanted to worship idols, who would be the right person to go? Aaron? It would be the last person to go. Which is also a puzzling thing. They go to Aaron to build him a golden calf. Is this the right person for this job?
Well, it's next in line.
Yeah, but I'm saying, if they really wanted to worship idols, they wouldn't ask Aaron to do the golden calf.
Some comment.
They will ask one of the Erev Rav. One of those sorcerers that went with them to do it.
There are some commentators that say that they really didn't want to worship idols. They want to substitute Moshe from another leader. Because Moshe was the way to talk with God, to connect with God. So
why not Aaron?
No, he's saying.
So they went to Aaron because he's his brother.
He's the next in line.
No, the thing is, the idea is that we have to understand and realize there are a few explanations, and one of them is that we have to understand and realize that when we're talking about the golden calf, we're talking about Dordea. We're talking about a generation that saw God. They just now got the Ten Commandments.
Yeah,
they're not
a few weeks before they...
And if they really wanted to worship idols, they wouldn't approach Aaron. They would approach somebody else or do it by themselves. Yeah. So, first of all, the whole idea that they go to Aaron, it must that they had a certain thought. They thought that they're doing the right thing. So they asked Aaron, why did they ask for a golden calf? Because they said that a human being is no good. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu came with us, and now he's not here anymore. So what? We take Aaron, and tomorrow Aaron will be here. But we take something like the golden calf, it's going to stay forever with us. So we have a connection with God. In other words, they didn't want to worship idols. They wanted a substitute. They wanted something instead that they can go through to get to God, which was a big mistake. And why did they want the golden calf? Because one of the four figures at the carriage, that the chariot of the Merkavah, in the Kabbalah, that is the late Kodesh Baruch Hu is like sitting on it, is an ox. So this is the Genstag ox in the Merkava. And if you want to, we don't have to go far away. In the Mishkan itself, there was in the middle of the Mishkan, in the most holiest place of all, there were two statues
of
angels. Mm-hmm. Two statues. So what? This is okay? So in other words, it's not so simple to look and understand the sin.
They're a product of their time. I mean,
whatever.
Basically, because that was they were, that's what they saw around.
Yeah, but they just now, 2 minutes ago, they heard Lo ta'aseh lecha kol peseh vekol tmuna. 2 minutes ago.
You can hear, you can hear a lot of things.
So one of the explanations, one of them says that it was not the people from the our people. They were the heir of Rav, and they did it. And that's nothing to do. But we have to understand Aaron. What is Aaron doing here? So I told it in the past. It's like you have a hole in the tooth. So you go to the dentist. It's a small hole. So it takes a rentgen on the place. And then you see him suddenly coming in with all the tools and the grill and the thing. And you got fried. What are you doing? I just need a steamer. That is, it's only a small hole. It says, small hole? You have to see what I saw in the rentgen. You see, you have a small in the beginning, but then it's become so big that we have to, let's say, take this tooth out. Because otherwise, It's going to go to the other teeth and you will lose all your teeth. That's what Aaron was doing. Aaron knew there is a problem with the people. They just now killed Hur.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the problem.
So he knew there is something wrong. Now, what is? How is he going to fight, or how is he going to discover what is the problem, or who is behind all the problems? He says the best way is to do a test. So I will do what they want, and then we will find exactly who is an idol worshiper. Because the minute they will have this idol, they're going to worship it. So then we can find the rotten tooth and take it out, and it will not have an influence on the others. And that's what he said, Ki pra'o ha'am. He says, what he was really doing is was revealing the problem, the evil people, those who wanted to die. Because when they had the golden calf, they were all, not everybody was dancing there. There were, how many? I think 3,000, if I remember right.
3,000. And they were not only dancing.
They were doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
But that's exactly the point. So in other words, all those evil people that were hidden inside the people suddenly revealed themselves. So now you knew who, what's the problem, and you can deal with it and take it out, and then Am Yisrael can go on. And this is what Aaron is telling Moshe. You know the people. You know there is evil there. And the minute they did what they did, I knew that there is only one way that I can reveal those who are to blame. And this was the way. And we see that Aaron is really not being punished. He's not punished because he did the right thing from this point of view. There is, of course, the other explanation that he really didn't do it. Like, he didn't have the intention. He did it because he thought that nothing is going to happen. He wanted to delay the problem. And he just threw it to the fire. But then, we all know what happened. So, one way or another, the beauty of the Torah is that it's not a story and it's a lesson for us. So we can learn from all those things. And I want to end this lesson with one of the more important lessons is why are we are still now paying for the golden calf? Because if we look through the parsha, we realize that those who were involved were killed. So what is beyond Pokdiu Pakadati? What was wrong with all the others? There is one opinion that says that all those involved were from the Erev Rav. And by the way, our Chaim HaKadosh says that one of the opinions is that they were finished at that moment, because a lot of people ask, what happened to the Erev Rav? Where are they today? So from this point of view, they're not here with us because they were all killed after the golden calf.
But others say that they are here. One of the politics, the Smolaim, and all these.
They call it Erev Rav. It's like a. Mm-hmm. It's not a. No. It's like a joke. Like they will mock them. Yeah.
No, but later. But later in the Torah, later they all still make troubles. Who? To Moshe. People, some people. So maybe they.
Our people.
No, Erev Rav. They said Erev Rav also. So they didn't all. Were killed.
I'm saying one of the opinions is the Chaim HaKadosh says they were all killed.
Yeah.
In other words, there is nothing from the Erev Rav today with us.
Okay.
The other opinion says it's definitely that the people were involved. Also, the Chaim HaKadosh says it because it's written Amcha. It's written the Am, the people. So, in other words, they must. And then they tell Shevet Levi, kill Ishet Achiv. You will kill your brothers from the mother. Yes, not from the father, because the Shevet Levi himself didn't do any sin, but. If it's your brother, it cannot be Erev Rav.
Right.
So, right. As I'm saying, it's not a story. You see, it's a lesson for us. So what is the lesson? The lesson is like this. First of all, even if we talk it as an Erev Rav, or if it's a part of our nation, there was a big problem. And that's why we are punished till now. 3 million peoples, minus plus, okay? Standing and seeing those 3,000
Dancing
around and doing bad things around this golden calf.
They are worse.
And you do nothing.
They are worse.
You do nothing. And that's a big lesson for us in life. To be adish.
Yeah.
To be apathetic.
Apathetic
and not caring and not too passive and not active, it's no good. If you see something wrong is being done, you have to do something. If you haven't got the power, okay, but here we're talking about 3,000 people? 3 million people didn't have the power to stop those 3,000? Why didn't you stop them?
And when Ur began to talk about them, they came and nobody defended him.
This is the worst sin. As we say, in order to build the Mishkan, what do you need? The heart. You need to be involved. It's not something from the outside. It's not only thinking and doing. It's doing it from the heart. If you don't do it from the heart, it means nothing. That's why when they built the Mishkan, this was to fix the sin of the golden calf. So then they did it from the whole heart. In 2 days, they took all the money to build it. They realized that their sin was standing and doing nothing, which is a lot of times worse than doing. Yeah. Because somebody who does sometimes doesn't know he's doing wrong. Because he goes after the others. But those who know, you stand and do nothing.
There's another problem. If reading the English, Aaron asked them for gold, anybody who has gold, put it into a claw, threw it into the fire, and the calf emerged. So in other words, there was a miracle here. You can't just make a calf by throwing gold into the fire. It's an art. And here it seems that Kadosh Baruch Hu had a hand in it.
Of course. You see, we have to understand something very important. No. Nothing happens in this world that God is not involved. Nothing can move without the permission of God. God is doing everything here. It's like, say, the Rav Adam Sinai says, we talk also about it. When I raise the glass, who raised the glass?
You're saying God raised the glass?
Yes.
I was looking at with you.
You were looking at the outside, you see? That's exactly the point. We have to look at the inside and not at the outside.
But Gandhi, I want to ask you something. You say Bataimi or no, or also that someone that Loich Patlaim is worse than Mishi Ose. It is Takil. Everyone.
Oh, that, English or Hebrew?
Yes.
Everyone that doesn't keep Shabbos, like you say, they'll have a problem in Olam Haba because they are not involved with Hashem. We know this.
Yes.
We see our friends or someone, they don't keep Shabbos. We need to go there and tell them. If Ichpatli, that they'll not have in Olam Haba, they'll have problems.
So all the religions are apathetic.
Apathetic. No, it's very interesting what you're saying. Now, the point is, how do you do it? You see, you have to understand and realize that the idea is not telling people to do something. The idea is making them do it in a way that is going to... to have the influence of them, to learn, teach them, to find a way for them to do it for their own benefit, because they want to do it. Because if you force somebody to do something, that's not the idea. The idea is, so in other words, if you have the power to have a good influence on those friends, you try and do what you can. But if you haven't got the power, what do? You behave the best way you can. You be a sample. You keep Shabbos. You show them how nice Shabbos is. You invite them to Shabbos. You show them what is the family sitting on a table. What is the beauty of Shabbos. You make them love Shabbos. That's the idea. The idea is not that... In other words, this is again, you are not a dish. The greatest sin is not caring. The minute you care, it's you're already on the right way. How you care? You have to think about it. That's what I'm saying. When you do something from the heart, that's the idea, not being adish. To be adishut means I don't care. Also with relationship. You know, if the couple's got no connection, they just do what they have to do. They don't care about each other. There are no fights. My father always used to say, when you see a couple, puchi, muchi, muchi, he says, this puchi, muchi, muchi is not going to stand. It's not going to last. That's a puchi, muchi. If you don't care about somebody, it's puchi, muchi. But if you care, if he does even something small, it hurts you. Why? Because you go, oh, he's hurting me. In other words, caring is the idea.
Now I realize how I care.
No, but now I realize that he, every morning when he's drinking coffee, he reads the newspaper in English. And it, oi, and oi, and oi, and
I care.
Again, it's very good. That's what I'm saying. But that's exactly what the Torah is telling us. Chacham lev. You have the wisdom of the heart. Because the golden calf was the problem, that there was no heart there. They didn't care. And we have to care. And the minute we care, then we can build a Mishkan and lizkot bezrat Hashem, bet HaMikdash HaShlishi b'mehra b'yameinu. Amen.